Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of season 5. If you have just joined, my name is Robin of At A Tired Witch Everywhere, and normally I'm joined by Maria of Maria the Arcane Everywhere, but unfortunately she is still out sick. But if you do stick through with us on this episode, I will be joined by Bobby of The Uncorked Witch to talk about witchcraft and therapy overlapping. And there's still a chance, if you're listening to this on the day it came out or directly after, to join us on Saturday, April 20th for our class on Grimoire Magic with Laura Derbyshire. That is going to be hosted at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's available for everyone, library tier and up. And if you're interested in it, but you can't actually make the class, remember that it is going to be available to watch back after at any time after the class. And if you are interested in the class, but you are not interested in the Patreon, it is also available on our Eventbrite page. So we hope to see you there. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. Now, that being said, the closest, significant lunar phase to the day that this comes out is going to be on April 23rd. That is the full moon in Scorpio. As Maria and I have talked about a few times on here, definitely utilize moon maps, moon apps to 100% check in your area with what's going on in terms of planetary alignment, so that way you're for sure on the full moon in Scorpio. And this isn't one of those situations where I'm saying that, but yours is totally different. So definitely use moon apps to double check. But for where I'm at, we're going to be on the full moon in Scorpio on April 23rd. And the full moon in Scorpio I really like because I feel like this is a great moon that utilizes something very similar to the new moon, but in the full moon's position. Scorpio in general is very mysterious. It's got this kind of shadowy mysteries of the night energy. And so we can utilize pretty closely this symbolism that we see in death and transformation work, which typically we would align with a new moon. And so because it is a full moon, I feel like we have this kind of new moon energy just kind of really ramped up into something a lot stronger. So for me personally, if I was going to recommend any kind of magical work, I would suggest you looking to symbolism that we might see in the death card, that strong, abrupt transformations, and apply that to whatever is relevant in your life right now. So maybe you need some radical change. Maybe you need some strong pushes to flipping that next page in the chapter of your life. And the full moon in Scorpio, in my opinion, is a perfect time to do that. It also is a really good time to focus on any kind of control magic. So maybe you're feeling out of control or you need more control in a situation. This would be the time that I would utilize that. I know that we have situations in magic that deal with things like domination magic and stuff like that. And I'm not going to get into the nuances of domination magic on whether or not you should or should not do it. But if you are somebody that is utilizing domination magic or considering it, etc., etc., this is a great moon for that. So I would give it a try. I don't know. So every single week, Maria and I typically talk about tarot cards and we unpack them. And over the last season, we have been focusing on themes and tarot cards that might represent those themes that maybe you didn't necessarily think about. And because Maria has been gone and things have been a little kooky, I thought that we could talk about stress, and not just stress like cards that represent stress, but how stress might be affecting other situations in your life. So let's say you pulled this up as a signifier card or pulled for more clarity on why a situation is being manifested the way that it is. those kind of stress things, factors affecting it. I don't know. I hope that makes sense. So that being said, the first card that I picked for this situation is the Seven of Swords. Typically, we see the Seven of Swords as like a deceit card, that there is situations where either we're lying to ourselves or people are lying to us. Often it's like the Thief card, right? And Seven of Swords as a stress card to me makes perfect sense, because often a big part of why we hold on to stress the way that we do is because we are not being totally honest with ourselves about what we can and can't handle, as well as the boundaries that surround that. So typically speaking, the deceit in this situation is the fact that we're cheating ourselves out of a break. And sometimes we have to create these bigger boundaries, right? We have to be able to say to the people or experiences, whatever you want to call it, around us that, hey, this is causing me a lot of stress and I need to lessen the load. And what does that look like, right? So I don't know if this is being pulled up as a signifier. The Seven of Swords to me would definitely be a huge indicator that I need to be evaluating my relationship with everything around me, and if I'm being totally honest about whether I can or cannot handle something. The next card I picked for this, which is like pretty similar, is the Ten of Wands. And the Ten of Wands is like, we see this visual representation of the character in the card holding this huge pile of sticks and it being very hard. And typically we see this card as a keep going. You're almost to the end. Yes, you're overworked right now, but it's almost over. And when it comes to stress, this card to me is a really good signifier that our stress is almost over. So it's that first and foremost acknowledgement of the fact that we are just burdened with this massive stress, but it does come up as a reminder that the stress is almost over. We're almost at a point that we can ask for and acknowledge more breaks, which is really important. And that when it is over, to maybe not overload ourselves with a huge pile once again, that is going to be burdensome and not giving ourselves that much needed break. And the last card that I picked for this is the Nine of Swords. The Nine of Swords is a nightmare card. It is a card that talks about fear and anxiety, and what causes more stress than fear and anxiety. when I see this card in readings, typically it suggests that while things are nightmares, the important thing about nightmares is that they're not always telling the full story. So we have these cards that come up that the anxiety and stresses that come with it might be so real and so valid. But our worst nightmares are not necessarily exactly how it's going to play out. So it's important to check in with ourselves that, is our anxiety causing an overwhelming amount of stress to the point that it's not telling us the truth? I hope that makes sense. That it is not being totally honest with us. It's one of those situations where it talks about how our feelings are valid, but our feelings are not always rooted in the full picture of reality. And so to kind of just check in with ourselves, check in with our bodies, like, are we feeling overly stressed, overwhelmed, etc., about something that is totally true and totally honest? Because our feelings are valid, but they aren't always being honest with us about things like that. So I hope that makes sense. And I hope that when you guys get these cards as clarifiers or signifiers in a personal kind of touching base with the right now, that that helps a little bit. Well, as I said earlier in this episode, I do have a guest today. I am joined by Bobby to talk about witchcraft and therapy. Bobby, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, of course. I'm Bobby. Pronouns they, them. I am a clinical mental health intern right now, so full transparency. You can find me at Uncorked Witch, although I am very unofficial on all social media platforms. Really just a shit poster, and all of my opinions are there. So very unprofessional, but you know,
it's
we
fun.
Like to bridge the gap between professionalism and fun things.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen my gross posts that I post all the time on my face. It's okay. We can be both things.
Exactly. Honor all the parts.
Exactly. So we brought we. Maria's sick. It's just me. I don't know why I'm saying we. If I say we in this episode, guys, just Maria's here in spirit. So I have brought Bobby on today to talk about overlaps in witchcraft and therapy, just mental health in general. And so starting off strong, what would you say you think the biggest misconception is with the overlap of the two?
Well, that's a really hard question because I feel like there are so many misconceptions, especially now, because both fields and both like ways of being are so stigmatized still, and we're still trying to unravel what they even mean, and they can mean totally. So many different things to so many different people. And I think that is one of the biggest misconceptions, is the intersectionality between witchcraft and therapy. And at the same time, witchcraft is not therapy.
Yeah.
But witchcraft can be therapeutic. So
I feel like the two can be really great additives for each other, but
exactly.
One does not negate or replace the other.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love to say that like witchcraft, any kind of like worldview, whether it be religious, spiritual in nature, like I feel like they really like lay the groundwork for how to approach therapy rather than, them being therapy themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah. So one of our big questions, because I did open up questions to our Discord for what they would like to hear you talk about, and this came up a few times. So one of our big questions was, when you go into any kind of mental health work, what is something that you do to protect your own energy when you're kind of dealing with so many emotions, both like super high and super low, etc.?
Yeah, there are quite a few things. And this is where I will say my background as being a witch really prepared me for this profession. Because, you know, I've been practicing since the ripe age of 13, you know, one of those millennial witches that found their way online first.
Thanks, LiveJournal.
Exactly. So yeah, a lot of the same basic principles that exist already within the witchy community, you know, if people do readings for others, I'm sure a lot of these basic skills will sound familiar. A lot of the grounding yourself, using visualizations as a way of protecting your energy, and really making those things personal to you. And the way that you practice is, you know, just going to solidify that protection. And then I will say, like, there are other more material ways, like having a great supervisor, having your own therapist, having some of these more like material avenues of grounding, good support system, things like that really help therapists, in my opinion, stay grounded in their field or in their profession. I'm trying to move away from the word field. You may hear me say it a few times. I'm going to try to use profession. But yeah, I feel like that answers the question, but
yeah, I definitely do. I think that, I mean, I talked about this a few times on the podcast. I used to be a mental health counselor as well. And I think that creating boundaries is also really important, and having that skill, which, because it is a skill, boundaries are a skill, is just so important. Like, whether it's spiritual or literal in the mundane.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that that's one thing I think new therapists struggle with is boundaries and setting, and like, where do those professional boundaries begin? And the rapport that you build with your clients,
mm-hmm.
where does that intersect, and where's that liminal space? Because it's not going to look the same for every client. And I think that's what makes it part of the practice, is like, you have to kind of feel it out as you go.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
So the next question our Discord had was, what is your favorite way to incorporate magic into therapy?
I love this question because to me, like, and this is where, you know, in the profession of therapy, I love my disclaimers. This is something I tell all my clients, anybody I work with. I love disclaimers. What I say is going to sound different. If you ask another therapist this question, it's going to be different. For me, therapy itself is very sacred. It is a part of my practice as a witch as well. And I think it can be interesting to think of therapy as magic. Like, you know, I said, therapy is not witchcraft, but
right.
Therapy is magic in a way. To sure. me, again.
It's transformative, and absolutely. Magic is transformative.
Yes. Yeah, and it's ceremony. Like, therapy and creating that therapeutic container is a ceremony. It's a ritual. And I think some therapists can do a better job at creating that container where others might just jump right into the session. Like for me in my practice, I like to, and you know, this is a conversation I have with clients during like intakes to let them know how the session's going to go, but right. like really like setting the tone. Like when a client comes in, I'm not going to ask them right away, how are you doing? I'm going to say, let's set the container. Let's create the space. Take a couple grounding breaths together. It may look like lighting a candle to open up that space. It's very ritualistic for me. And I think magic intersects with that a lot because a therapist moves in and out of the unconscious and conscious in ways that are very similar to different types of spiritual practice. The same skills are present. And I think, like I said before, that can look different depending on, you know, if you ask a therapist right. who's very based in the medical model, they're going to be like, therapy is ritual. You're crazy. Get out of here, you Jungian analyst. And you know, you ask a Jungian analyst and they're going to be like, absolutely. We can dive into all, you know, get very poetic with it. So like, mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of a good thing though, because I think that a lot of people who have never done therapy think that it's a one size fits all model. And that's a really big part of going through a mental health, like wellness journey, is finding the support team for you that is going to suit you best, reflect you best, and also understand you the best.
Absolutely.
So that leads me to my next question. This actually is really seamless. Did that on purpose. which is, if you were looking for a therapist and you wanted to find one that was going to be respectful and understanding of the fact that you do have this layered spiritual belief, what would you recommend to people in terms of like questions to ask or things to consider when trying to find a therapist that might be right for them?
That's another great question. And I think that really like is going to, again, be different for, person to person. I would suggest, I love Psychology Today. There are so many filters that you can use on Psychology Today to find a great therapist. Like,
they have a website?
Like Psychology Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can like, they have a whole network of therapists. You can go in there and like search your local area.
You did not know that. This is news for me.
It's amazing. It's amazing for therapists too, because it really helps us like the same way. Not every client is going to click with a therapist. Not every therapist is going to click with a client. And
totally
like on Psychology Today, there are a lot of tags that you can filter. Like if spirituality is something that's really important to you, you can put that in and find a therapist who knows. Again, you might, you know, it can be a little gray, and you might want to weed out the therapist that, you know, just you, you know, there are a lot of like Christian therapists who are very, very
Christian. Up to therapy on the first day, you use the spirituality like filter, you show up and you're like, so let's talk about the demon in my basement. And they're like, oh, that's not very God of you.
Right. Yeah. So you want to weed that out, and that can definitely happen. But I think resources like Psychology Today can really help save people a lot of time when it comes to like just Googling like therapists in my area and then getting everybody's website and having to do this deep dive.
Yeah. So overwhelming.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if you're going through a personal situation that's very traumatic, I can imagine trying to wade through the Google results would not be very fun.
Exactly. Yeah. And then to find, you know, do all that work to find maybe three therapists and then none of them click with you because, you know, their website was really cool and appealed to you, but their modalities don't. And that's another thing is with the questions to ask a therapist, like ask them what modalities they use. Like if you know CBT isn't going to work for you, don't go to a therapist that specializes in CBT. You know, we all use it, but you know, some use it more.
than
others.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those things where, you know, if that's their primary focus, then they probably are going to be less inclined to consider other pathways for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would say I would ask you to elaborate, if you would, on other questions that we could ask overall that maybe like, because when you do an intake with a therapist, right, usually the first a couple sessions are like get to know me kind of sessions. Do you have something specific that you would like recommend that somebody like brought up that's like, oh, I'm trying to think of how to word this. It's gentle to like be like, instead of like walking in the room, be like, I practice witchcraft. How maybe we could phrase that in a way that is testing the waters, but also isn't outright being like, you know, especially when we go back to that Christian using the spiritual hashtag, they're not going to think that you're like demonic.
Yeah.
Satanic panic is real.
It's so real. And you have to protect yourself. Like, and this is something I'm a big advocate for as well, is therapists can be cops. Therapists can police you and, you know, tell you your spiritual things that you're experiencing aren't real because they're trained in Western modalities and they don't necessarily have space to
subscribe to that mindset. Yes,
exactly. So like I would definitely just suggest doing that, dipping the toes in. If you're not comfortable outright saying I'm a witch, I need a therapist who is going to accept these beliefs and at least try to understand my worldview, I need you to be upfront and tell me, because if that's not the case, then I need to go find another therapist. But I also understand sometimes people seeking therapy don't have those, you know, interpersonal skills to advocate for themselves quite yet. And it can be scary. You know, I think going back to the question of stigma, there's so much, even mystery surrounding the profession of a therapist. Like, who is a therapist? Are that, you know, they're a licensed medical professional, but they're also human, and you know, like,
human have biases,
exactly,
and their own worldview based off of experience.
Yes, exactly. And that's going to come through in the therapeutic space in some ways. That's when ruptures happen and we have to repair and we have to talk about it. But yeah, to go back to the initial question, like, just if you're not quite comfortable outright asking, dip your toes in, ask how, you know, you could ask, have they done any research into Jungian modalities? That's a great way to dip your toe. You know, I have my own reservations about Jung, at the same time, still one of the relevant psychotherapists that kind of paved the way for modern witchy therapists and yeah. gave us space and language to use in professional situations. You could ask how comfortable they are with dream work, how comfortable they are with metaphor and all of this. We could create a list of ways that you could do it. I feel like the most powerful would be just what way works best for you and what language can you use to kind of dance around it a little bit. Again, if being blunt with it isn't your
isn't in your wheelhouse.
Exactly.
So that kind of leads us again really seamlessly into our next question. Speaking of Jung, what are your thoughts and feelings on shadow work?
I have a lot of conflicting thoughts and feelings on shadow work.
I think a lot of people do.
Yes. I love shadow work. I love the idea of it. I think there are a lot of nuances involved because of how pop culture kind of grabbed a hold of it.
Sure.
And it kind of evolved. Not saying Jung's perspective on shadow work was necessarily free of any kind of controversy. You know, I'm sure, you know, if people have read on Jung, you can be aware of those controversies. But at the same time, I don't think shadow work is any different from parts work. IFS, internal family systems, like, if you really kind of like break down the semantics of it, shadow work is recognizing those different parts of self, the ones that we like to pretend don't exist, or we like to block out or repress, and they can express in different ways that can really impact people's daily lives. And that's where it turns into the whole world of diagnosis, and we can talk about that, but I don't I have lots of thoughts and opinions about a lot of different things, but I'm trying to stay focused on the question. I'm also a neurospicy therapy witchy person, so if I go on a little bit of tangents, that's why.
Well, everybody who listens to this podcast has listened to my soapbox rants that come out of nowhere. So if they have, you know, held my hand this long through the podcasting journey, nobody listening will be surprised.
I love that.
So going off the shadow work situation, she says, listen to me. The shadow work concept is probably a better word to describe it. What red flags should people consider if they are doing shadow work at home and it being a general signal that, you know what, maybe this isn't the right thing for me to be doing right now and I should be seeking help elsewhere?
Yeah, definitely. If you're experiencing any of those activations or any of those, like, going into emotional dysregulation to a point where you are no longer able to move about your day in a way that is, how do I want to phrase this? If your quality of life is going away, you should probably seek out somebody, therapist, to help maneuver through that shadow work with. If there are parts that have been repressed or shadow aspects that have been repressed for so long, they can manifest or express in ways that can look very intense. And this is where I think we can go in a lot of different directions with different types of therapists. Though, like, even the shadow work self-help journals that are, they were huge on TikTok for a time. I think they're great, and I think it can be helpful to work through those workbooks with a therapist rather than trying to do it yourself.
Especially if you're, like, not to interject here, but especially if you're somebody who is unpacking a lot of very deep, very personal, possibly traumatic situations, and you're using shadow work to deal with that, that's amazing. But we might not always have the tools on our own to navigate these situations, and having somebody who maybe has those tools would be a really good thing.
Absolutely.
To help us.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that just takes me to like the social systems and like how we're all westernized and we are not taught these skills growing up. We are not taught emotional regulation skills. We're not taught how to co-regulate or even regulate ourselves. Like, these are things, I mean, if you had great parents that, you know, that's pretty rare though, like taught you these
at
skills.
At least in our generation.
Exactly. I know, like parents now, like there's some like gentle parenting, like there are so many ways, like this next generation of kids, my best friend has three boys and like the way I've seen her parent her boys, I'm just like, they're going to grow up with such great emotional, like, communication, and like, are they even going to need therapy? Everybody's going to need therapy one day.
Everybody's
going to
need therapy one day. It's just like going to a doctor. Even if you're super, super healthy, your brain is just as important as your heart and your lungs
Absolutely.
And your stomach. Okay, well, overall, that's all the questions I have for you. But I would like you to have a moment here that if you would like to remind our listeners where to find you, or if you have any leaving notes that you would like to leave them on. If you could just give us that space, that would be great.
Yeah. Again, you can find me at Uncorked Witch. I will say I am on Instagram. It has been very sporadic on Instagram. You might get something, you might not. I have been very active on Threads, but over there, it's a very not professional space. And I think this is such a rich and deep topic, and I feel like we could talk for hours on it.
Totally.
And I guess I would leave with like, being a witch doesn't have to differentiate from being a therapist. They can be one and the same. They can be completely different. It really depends on how you define both things. And to me, like, a witch is somebody who practices a craft and channels their own inherent magic through it. Mm-hmm. It's been a big part of my practice. It's been a big part of my path and what led me to be a therapist in the first place. That's been a very long road of dodging and weaving around professional licensure. And then I was like, fine, I'll do it.
Perfect. Well, thank you for joining me today on this. And Maria, although she's not here, I know that her spirit is also thanking you.
Thank you, Maria.
So because Maria's not here this week, I'm not going to be doing stirring, not stirring the way that we normally do it. And I'm not going to do not stirring at all because I feel like by myself talking about things that I'm not vibing with is kooky. So instead, I just want to talk about something that is making me really happy that maybe will make you happy too. I don't know. So I know we talked about the Discord last time, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to like totally gas up the Discord again. Although if you aren't a part of it, you should be, because everyone in there is amazing. We are doing though. So like what I want to talk about is happening in the Discord, but I want to talk about it on a personal level. We are doing something that is called 75 Soft. I don't know if you guys are familiar with 75 Hard. It is a fitness and diet challenge that is really hard. That's why it's called 75 Hard. But we're doing 75 Soft, which is the exact opposite of that. And it's been really good for my mental health. And that's why I want to talk about it. And actually, I can share it on, like, I can share the challenge on social media. So maybe I'll do that when this episode comes out. That way, if you want to do it, you can too. But it is a challenge that the challenge is you do one thing from the challenge. every day. And that's just the goal. Now, ideally, you would do more than one thing. That would be great. But it's one of those things where you don't have to do everything like 75 hard to be fully contributing. And in 75 soft, our goals, so you hit one thing a day, is 2 liters of water in the day, 30 minutes of some kind of movement, having a fruit or vegetable with every meal that day, 5 to 10 minutes outside. So just being outdoors and getting in the sunlight is a goal. No impulse spending. That one has been really good for me because I do pause and think about stuff before I buy it. And it's caused me to like put stuff in my cart and let it just kind of sit there for a few days. And I'm still thinking about it a week later. I've been allowing myself to get it. A daily picture in our little thread in Discord. That's a goal. A goal is literally just showing up, reading 10 minutes or 10 pages in a book or 10 minutes in an audiobook and saying something nice about yourself. And I think that's really nice. The goal is to do at least one thing. And in the Discord, we're using it just as like an accountability thing. Obviously, ideally, you would hit everything, but unlike 75 hard, it's really okay if you don't. Like, it's not the end of the world. This is literally just a motivational thing to make people feel nice about themselves and to do something nice for their body. And so I think it's really nice. I've been really enjoying it. It's been super good for my mental health, and it's been pushing me to like to get outside and go on walks. And like, my walks are at a snail's pace. I do a mile. I mean, mind you, I've got a toddler, but I do a mile in like 40 minutes. Our bar is on the floor. Okay. And like I said, I've got a toddler, so we do a lot of stopping to pick flowers and stuff. So that is a nuanced part of the walk. But I've been really enjoying it. It's been making me super happy. And I feel like I don't want to speak on behalf of other people, but I do feel like it's been nice seeing other people like talk about the nice thing that they did for themselves that day. And it's made me really happy. I don't know. And if you implement something like that in your life for, 75 days, I think that would be very nice. Obviously, I'm not trying to like diss 75 hard. I know that there are some people that are incredibly committed to that kind of dedication, and good for you. That makes me so happy if it makes you so happy. But not all of us are into that. And so I feel like this has been a really good, compromise to it, where it's just doing at least one nice thing for your body a day. It's been nice. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be businesses, artists, other podcasters, books, kind of just whatever. And that being said, although Maria's not here, we still are also taking listener submissions. So this week, the creator that I'm loving right now, because I'm the only one here, so I'm the only one who's talking, is a creator called Toodles. The name will be in the caption, but they're a potter that I got sent that I am obsessed with. And I know that nobody is surprised in the slightest bit that I would choose pottery. This is the black and gold tarot deck of Maria. Mine is pottery. But they do these really, really cute little mugs that have faces on them. And they just like, they're so sweet. And they have the one specifically that I got sent that I was like, yes, I need to have that. It's like a little mug that has mushrooms growing out of the mug and like a little sweet face. And I'm just totally obsessed. Like absolutely obsessed. I want one. This will be another case of I want it. And so therefore I will not be getting it because I'm going to smash that buy button and it will be sold out. But you never know. Who knows? Maybe I'll get one. And our listener submission this week is a creator called Pinky and the Bear. And they are also a potter. Sorry, everyone. This is a pottery heavy episode. And the Pinky and the Bear specifically, I'm trying to pull this up because I don't want to misquote myself, but they make like little vases and like ring holders and stuff, but what we got sent is like a little fox and little toadstools that they're living under, and it's got like that golden glaze on things. Oh, it's literally so cute. I don't know, I don't think it's called a glaze, it's, I don't know, an overglaze, I don't know, I don't know what it's called, but like that gold finish that pottery sometimes can have. It's very, very cute. I really love it. I think that everyone should have one. But yet again, this has got like 40,000 likes on it. So there is no way that I'll be smashing the buy button and actually getting it. But a girl can dream. They also have little lights underneath the toadstools, which I think is, I don't know, amazing, fantastic, little dangly charms. We're here for it. Anyway. I want them, and I hope that you guys get those things if you want them too, or you're going to be like me and you're going to hit the buy button and it's not going to happen. So fingies crossed. Oh, and if you are somebody who has found a shop or a creator or a business, a book, whatever, that you think that the community would like to hear, shoot us a link on Instagram, shoot us an email. Like, I hope you do, because we would like to share it. Thank you all so much for joining me this week. I hope to see you again on Friday, April 26th for our Coffee Talk episode. I will be having a special guest because I am requiring Maria to take an extra week off, which is going to be pretty exciting. Becky Galentine's going to hang out with me. Or you can join us on May 3rd for the 8th episode of season 5. And hopefully Maria will be back for that. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information or see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us on April 20th. So tomorrow, if you're listening on the day this comes out. For our class on grimoire magic with Laura Derbyshire of the Boer Hair. I think that's going to be pretty great, and I hope to see you there. As a reminder, if you'd like to join us on the class, but you are not available at that time, it is available for library tier and up to watch anytime after the class. Additionally, our Patreon, Magical Beginnings, offers special 25-minute part 2 episodes, which will be starting again as soon as Maria is doing better. A huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community which has like 8 events a month. It's crazy. There's so much going on there, and we would really like to have you for those events, as well as just everyday discussions, both witchy and mundane. We have a lot happening. And we even have a tier that offers one-on-one mentorship with Maria and I, so we would love to have you for that. And if you are loving our sexy, sensual, just chef's kiss voices, we would love it if you could review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or somewhere else, as well as if you're watching this on YouTube, if you could give us a subscribe and a like, that would be wonderful. So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons with just me today, Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere, and a special thank you to Bobby the Uncorked Witch for hanging out with me today. We hope that we will see you next time. Bye, witches!